The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is with the kids and grandkids this morning, and she's having a good time. When I left, there was visions of sugar plums dancing in their heads. 7:07 here on the 21st of December. Three more shopping days until Christmas for all of those who have not quite finished their shopping. 605-4567 is our phone number, and we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. The weather out there is frightful, but in here it's delightful. Let it snow, let it snow, let it rain. What's it going to be, buddy?
Well, we're looking at maybe an inch of rain today as this latest storm kind of drops a whole lot on the area. Showers continue overnight, low of about 43. Yesterday, we saw a dusting of snow up around the Lakehead area. We'll be checking on the snow level for those of you who are getting ready to do some Christmas traveling. Looking further into the week towards Christmas Day, on and off rain. And continuing levels of about a quarter to a half of an inch. So bring on the wet stuff. And then Friday, day after Christmas, we're looking for sunny skies. Right now in Reading, we are at 44 degrees. A report brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Veteran-owned business where their customers are warm friends. Discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call, 365-3793. Now, Bob, while I'm here, I'm rambling on here. Try and find out what's going on up in the I know you're saying up in Mount Shasta it's snowing like crazy. But if we plan on going up there and do a little tubing today with the kids. But if it's a if it's so that we can't get up there, I'd need to know that. So, good morning, everybody. Good morning to this week, the final week before Christmas, and taking Christmas out of Christmas. I have good news and I have bad news. I have bad news and good news. Bad news was, back in New Jersey, there was a teacher at a charter school who said there will be no Christmas. You can't use the word Christmas. You can't use the word Thanksgiving. You can't do anything. No stars, no Christmas trees, no Santas, nothing. If you wanted to talk about Thanksgiving, then it was a holiday feast. If you want to talk about the Christmas time, it was just a holiday time. And this is what they put it out. I mean, the teachers, nobody couldn't talk about Santa, nothing. School board had an emergency meeting when the parents rioted. She was overridden. And guess what? Santa is secular. So Santa is back. Trees are back. Star of David's back. You know, camels, everything. They're all back into the school. And this, and it's primarily an Asian and Hispanic school, which is interesting. I'm sure she's just a politically correct, overly politically correct type that just says, no, this is what we're going to do. We're taking it completely out of this time frame. It's just holidays. Well, she got overridden, got stomped on, kicked in the face, and pushed aside. And Santa and Christmas is back in New Jersey. Another one. Virginia. Virginia got Virginia schools, and this one district went on Christmas vacation a day early. You know why, Bob?
That would be why.
This is why. A woman, a teacher in a class, had them write down in a calligraphy class to practice writing. She said, "Oh, this is just this is Arabic writing." So they wrote, Allah is the only God, and Muhammad is the
there's
is
no
the
God but Allah.
There's
Muhammad
no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger. Right? Okay. Well, she had them write this and didn't tell them what it was. And so all these kids are writing this piece, and it's in the curriculum that they need to practice these things. And but the point of it, well, see, that's the point, is that when parents found out about it, and this is in a Virginia school. found out that they were writing that. It was, what is it that...
there is no other God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet, I think is the one of the translations.
That is it. But that's in that, and but when they wrote that, it just caused so much consternation because there's people going, wait a minute, you just had my child, my Christian child, write this and didn't even tell him what it was, didn't even give him a choice, just write this. Well, the amount of furor this one caused was unbelievable, to the point where the school superintendent shut down the district and put everybody on school, you know, because there were going to be people protesting. Mm. There was no threats of violence, just lots of protest. And so the school superintendent decided instead to just put everybody on Christmas holiday a day early.
Yeah.
So no school.
I will point out quickly that the reason I know that line is because of a famous scene in The 13th Warrior.
Well, you know what? That's true. That, you know, and I remember that. But you know, and I knew that, and I knew how to address. You know, to things though you lose with. If, it's kind of like if you don't say it all the time, and
yeah,
you know, like I can give you. You know, I can do the Lord's Prayer most of it, but most of it. Here's something.
Then there's those who go, to whom it may concern.
Star Wars.
Oh, I should have
exploded over the weekend, the largest opening ever. Of course, what surprise is that? $238 million in the United States. Now, on Facebook, I have friends in Croatia who sent me, you know, on Facebook, of course, you know, it's not like they sent me, they just put it out for everybody. But Neri and her husband and her child lived in Croatia. Neri worked for me when I was working in contracts over there. And she is in the Princess Leia costume. There's Chewbacca next to her.
With the cinnamon rolls on the
side of
it.
With the cinnamon rolls on the head. And then another lady who looks like an older Leah was wearing the same thing. And there they are. And they're going to Star Wars and they're all excited. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, oh my gosh. Well, then what that means is globally, another $279 million was made globally. So it became something like it was a $517 million opening weekend. Now you would think
$1 billion.
Woo! Now you would think that would be the biggest ever, right? No. Guess what was?
Jurassic World.
You got it.
Yeah.
And Jurassic World beat them through the international market. They beat Jurassic World by 8 million here in the States. But Jurassic World also had China, and Star Wars doesn't open in China until January.
Hmm.
So here's this movie, and get this, it's got like a 95% Rotten Tomato review, and Rotten Tomato rate review of all the movies. And 95 is really, really good.
That's pretty good.
And so, well, the only thing I can say is this: tomorrow, we will be there. The force will be if the force is with us, we will be there.
We're
going to
wait
morning.
Till maybe Christmas Eve. We're thinking going on Thursday, and
well, you know what you
making
need to
that
do?
Our Christmas
Fandango
Eve.
Fandango has sold more tickets to Star Wars than they've ever sold anything else by far. And you know, frankly, that's how we got our tickets. I just went there and just said, "Hey, I need this many tickets for this day." And so, but I think we're going to have to get there like an hour early, so we can just like get good seats, decent seats. What do you think?
Yeah, you want to order early. And
it's going to be raining tomorrow, right?
Going to be more rain tomorrow, and then it will taper off a little bit on Wednesday, and then back on Christmas Day, and, Friday looks nice, too.
Okay, well, I tell you what to do. Let's take a quick break here. This portion of the show is brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, where they've been in the top 100 hospitals in this nation for 3 years in a row, and their cardiac unit is in the top 50 hospitals in this nation. All of this at Shasta Regional Medical Center, where they treat people well. We'll be right back.
View 202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, View 202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202-226-8439. That's 226-8439.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Season's greetings. This is Mac McCraw, the Shasta County Veterans Service Officer. As an Air Force retiree who previously deployed to Iraq, I know how important it is to graciously say thank you to all the currently deployed soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines for putting your life on the line every day to defend freedom so that all of us back home can keep safe. Merry Christmas to all of you, and we will see you soon when you come home. And thank you, Shasta County family members, for your support during the holidays.
Linda Bott here from KCNR.
And Nathan Parmalee from Reading's own Civic Auditorium.
The Reading Civic is bringing the excitement to its newly updated theater. The 2015-2016 season promises to wow you and include a 15% savings option when you purchase tickets to three or more shows.
So start your holiday season with the exquisite artistry of Moscow Ballet's Great Russian Nutcracker. Enjoy heartfelt Christmas classics with the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas Show and take in the stunning debut of the Civic's very own production of Christmas Carol, A Love Story.
2016 kicks off with the pop culture phenomenon of Flashdance the Musical.
The devilishly funny production of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters.
The wildly theatrical show Blue Man Group. And the fun family experience of Chris Perandi's Stunt Dog Experience.
For tickets and more, visit ReadingCivic.com or the Reading Civic box office.
See you at the show.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio.
That should have been a little fanfare for some Christmas music, which we're kind of alternating.
You told me to start talking.
Yeah, well, that was because the thing wasn't working.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction here, Ted Leidy's company. Teaches concealed carry and hunter safety throughout the Northern California region. He teaches in seven different counties all the way down to Stockton. Here, it is some of the most complete training you're going to get. And if you don't have a gun, if you don't have a pistol, then he will provide guns to those people in those classes and ammunition for the classes that for somebody to learn how to use a pistol and also to get their concealed carry. And then the group at NFI, all of them are NRA instructors, will help you find a pistol that fits you so that you can carry it. Now let's talk about that for a little bit. This weekend, there's a concealed carry class, over 50 people in it. And when asked about why they were taking the class, and it was a show of hands because there's too many to go to each one of them, protecting themselves, their family, was a big one, because they have the right to do that. Second Amendment, great answer for that. And then the other, some of the others came back because they feared they were going to lose this right to do it in a later day. Well, with Gavin Newsom up there and running for governor, you might want to really, you know, take a good look at this. Anyway, the sheriff Bosenko showed up during the class as he has before at other. Concealed carry classes, and he answered a bunch of questions there, and it was really nice. So thanks a lot, Tom, for showing up there. Tom believes in the Second Amendment. The important part about this was so many people showed up, and then they all showed up to shoot in the rain yesterday.
Oh, and as much as it rained yesterday.
Well, but they had it set up so there was tents and, you know, and shelters and all these kind of things, but it still wasn't a happy time. I'm sure I wasn't there, but I'm sure it wasn't a happy time, but everybody qualified, which was the big thing, was to get everybody through so everybody understood what, you know, guns and safety, and everybody was asking great questions. So that
But this is just indicative of it. Like, you have 50 people in a class. You've got other classes always filled up, 25, 26 people in classes. And this is just one, this is just one school. There's other schools that are also teaching concealed carry, and I'm sure also have full classes. When I talk to them, they've got a lot of people in their classes. Some people are holding private classes, some NRA instructors, because good groups of people have approached them. So they're holding private classes and going out and shooting. Now, bottom line on all this is that people, again, taking the statistics, the latest statistics, about people do not believe that the government can protect them from a lone wolf shooter or even a complex attack of a group of terrorists coming after them, or and just going out into a general shooting of the populace. Now, what's that mean? It means you have to protect yourself, and that's the bottom line. Active shooter goes from 5 to 12 minutes. Emergency response time, 16 minutes. It just doesn't add up. And then when I hear politicians talking about taking weapons away, and I hear Hillary say things about the Australian, what's going on in Australia, well, that's something we have to look at. Australia was a confiscation of weapons by the government of the people. People had these guns they had bought. The government said they were illegal and then confiscated every one of them. Hillary wants to look at that. Hillary Clinton wants to look at that. If that doesn't scare you or bother you, when the majority of the people don't even think assault rifles should be banned, or, you know, I mean, this is for the first time in over 20 years. I mean, more and more people are saying, let us arm ourselves. And Hillary Clinton, and this is not a topic, you know, one reason, just this is one of the reasons I think people really need to look hard at her, is that she would take your weapons if she had a chance. Oh, for the good of all.
Well, this whole thing where the woman injured 40 people and killed one person by driving her car repeatedly onto the sidewalk, I don't hear a single call to pull cars off the road.
No, you won't, because...
Or to give closer scrutiny to those we hand driver's licenses to, or any of that.
And you won't. Okay. Now, you said something today that I found really interesting there, Bob, as you usually do, about all the water that's going into, I mean, all this water that's been coming down out of the skies, off the mountains, into our lakes. There's something that's a little strange about this.
Well, and this was brought to my attention first by one of our listeners, David.
David just kicked on the system here. Yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that... oddly enough, and Brenda, who is, she's a weather forecaster, she's going, this is making no sense. They're letting out just as much water as they've been letting out. The lake level is not starting to increase. If anything, it dropped a little bit. It's come up less than a foot in spite of all this rain, and water's just flashing down the river and pumping out to the ocean. Why?
Why is that happening? That's a good question.
And inquiring mind wants to know, why isn't the searchlight all over this one?
Why is so much water being let out? If all this thing we're trying to do is, if you remember a few years ago when the lake was really down and we got all that good rain, it filled the lake up.
Yeah.
In one season. And now, but you have to not let out so much water. I mean, it's not like there's a lot of agriculture going on, is there, buddy?
It's got to be a fish thing, but they're not talking about it.
Maybe it is, because they were saying some of the salmon were in trouble. But that's something to ask. Why are they doing that? Why are they letting so much? Can you call Shasta Dam and ask them?
Well, it would be, you have to set up an appointment to talk to a public affairs spokesperson from the Bureau. I've been down this road. It's a Byzantine process. You don't just call somebody up at the dam. It's all handled out of Sacramento. And there are like 16 agencies and groups. They call them stakeholders, more like stake drivers, who are involved in the process of how much water gets released at a particular time. And it's set up months in advance is the interesting part. They are very slow to react, but it is driven by fish, by how much water they can divert down to the urban areas, and a number of other things.
Shasta is a low of 912 feet. Today it was 915 feet. Well below last year's amount. So that's interesting. Maybe they think there's going to be so much rain coming that they're going to be able to catch it up later.
Some experts said, oh, this is going to be a record El Nino. We have to have plenty of capacity to capture it. If that doesn't happen, and this has happened, and Brenda points, who would know these things, looks at the meteorological chart and says, more often than not, January dries up and nothing happens. Wow. And if that happens again, we are in trouble, boys and girls.
The it makes you wonder why, when things like this happen, that they wouldn't be saving as much water as they can. So this is something that the Inquiring Minds should go out and find out. Dave has been sending us stuff. He's on the chat room right now. Okay. Now here's something else too. As long as I have my computer guy here.
Mm-hmm.
Front page news: hackers could shut down U.S. power grid.
That's been known for a long time.
That they're hacking, but the U.S. power grids could be affected by a cyber attack. And in fact, they're finding things. This one gets a story about this guy was looking for something else, and he finds that there was so much information being taken right then, passwords. Engineering designs and mm-hmm. schematics that shows you exactly where to go to shut down certain systems, include those that are mission critical, and that it's they traced it back to Iran. But the Russians have been getting into our systems too. And while there hasn't been a major takedown of systems that we know of, but they have planted malware and everything, all types of things in there. What's going on with this?
Well, a lot of these systems, these critical control systems, are based on relatively simple programmable controllers. This isn't a Hewlett-Packard PC that you plug into the dam. It's a general-purpose controller that has fairly basic software and, in fact, often has a factory password encoded into it that the end user is supposed to take out, and most of them don't. So these things get connected to the internet so they can be remotely controlled, so you don't have to send a person out to work on it. You know, you just tap a few buttons and you raise and lower the gates and things like that. But these systems want
or
somebody,
turn on grids and turn them off.
Throw switches, this way and that way. And we have left it extremely vulnerable. And this has been the elephant in the room in this stuff for a long time. I don't know if you were in this part of the world in the mid-80s, I believe it was. Somebody made an error on a switchboard up in Mountain Gate, the big grid yard up there, and it took out half the West Coast for hours. And that was just a simple mistake. A malicious attack could drop the whole grid for days.
And now here's the thing that then people should be aware of, is what is being done about this now? Are our cyber experts getting back in there and trying to harden up the system? I think they are. I think that the article says that they're in there and trying to look at it, because, you know, it's the same thing as if they went into the money system and just shut down the banking, or threw enough malware in there that it would just start shifting money around. But this is something that, we worry about a nuclear weapon coming down above us with an EMP, electric magnetic pulse, that takes out everything, when indeed you should probably be looking at something even a lot simpler than that. That all your power's turned off for 2 weeks, and the amount of harm it could do. They had this other one that did you see where these three cars or four cars driving along the Golden Gate Bridge? This was decades ago. Four or five cars driving along the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco. They stopped. They all got out. They were all rental cars under other names. Got out and ran to a third car. Another car. They got in that, and they all just drove away. What they did was they just blocked the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah.
You could get tow trucks coming the other direction, but think how long Think how long that would be.
And the aggravation. Saw a great meme on Facebook. It had a bunch of people in a Walmart or wherever fighting over a television set, gouging eyes and beating each other up. And the caption read, "If people freak out this bad over a television, what happens when the food runs out?"
Yeah, and one last thing, too, is when the kids flew into San Francisco. They flew into San Francisco, and they arrived at 10:30. They were 30 minutes late because a woman had a stroke on the plane, and my daughter's a nurse. So she's helping a person off the plane, and there's these other stories that are going on at the same time are hilarious, but not about the woman, of course. But they get in. It takes them two attempts to get a car in San Francisco. First time none of the electronics worked on it, on the first car. So as they're driving across the Bay Bridge,
mm-hmm.
they're stuck in traffic. This is at 11:30 at night. I'm getting this text: "We're stuck in traffic."
Yeah.
And I said, "How could you be stuck in traffic?" And it turns out there was a wreck on the bridge.
And then as soon as they cleared the wreck, you know, they could get by the wreck, two other cars stalled on the bridge, pushing people back. You know, so, I mean, it was just like one lane.
Yeah.
I mean, and think about this. These are just like a basic accident. Think if you took a fuel truck.
Oh, yeah.
And you just turned it sideways on the bridge, and that's it. You know, you could cut off San Francisco through the Golden Gate and the Bay Bridge. You know, you couldn't cut it off from the rest of it, but you could cut through, you could stop those bridges working for a long time.
Oh yeah, and then it would be messy. Absolutely, the big earthquake. They were routing people down south, and the San Rafael was pretty backed up too.
Okay, Thursday. Everybody, I'm getting ready to give away a Christmas present on Thursday. Jay Leno is coming to Reading at the Civic Auditorium on March 26th. A lucky listener, if one of you all, can win two tickets by just calling us today at 605-4567 and saying, you don't even have to say anything. You can just say, hey, I want those Jay Leno tickets. That's good enough. We put your name on the list. Put your name on the list, and then on Thursday during the show, we're going to draw those tickets, draw a name out.
A Christmas Eve present.
And you get a Christmas Eve present of two tickets to Jay Leno. Remember, the tickets start at $55, so this is a minimum of $110 Christmas gift that you just won right here from KCNR, 1460. So give me a call at 605-4567, and you can get these tickets. I'll take as many calls that come in. We'll get your name on the list. Or if you want to, if you just want to write an email and just send it to Molly at kcnr1460.com, you can do that too. But I'm going to keep talking about this during this because we really want to give as many people an opportunity to win these tickets as we possibly can. Bob, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle bell rock. Jingle bells swing and jingle bells ring.
I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
During the holiday season at Wellgate Sports Club, we want to give you the gift of health and fitness. Hi, I'm Rich Novelli, President and COO of Wellgate Sports Club. For a limited time, we are offering no dupes until 2016. So call today at 768-1205 for your personal tour. At Wellgate Sports Club, you will experience exceptional every day. At Wellgate Sports Club, we wish all of you a happy and healthy holiday season.
Mark your calendars for the wedding show event of the year. January 17th, it's the Bridal Guide Wedding Show, calling all brides, grooms, and families. Join us at Simpson University January 17th from 11 to 3 p.m., where you can see over 100 vendors and a special live fashion show with tons of giveaways, including a free honeymoon trip. Make it a day to remember at the Bridal Guide Wedding Show. That's Simpson University January 17th from 11 to 3. See you there.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have they. Through the decades, they've served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism they'd expect for their own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, Reading Yellow Cab is there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234.
Carl, it's holiday time, and I feel like a special holiday mocha. Take me to Espresso Joe's Inside Tobacco and Brew right now.
Yeah, and while we're there, let's walk next door to the finest walk-in humidor in the North State and find some great cigars for your dad, your brother, and me. Some of the highest-rated cigars by Cigar Aficionado.
That's right, and we can browse and buy special coffee beans, tea accessories, and let's look through the wonderful wine selection. That's 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Hop in the truck, hon. Let's go.
National News with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda is taking care of kids and grandkids. Holly jolly Christmas with Burl Ives.
I cannot hear this song without remembering the original Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer animated show.
Yeah, we have that. Yeah,
it was the snowman.
We have that on a DVR, and we'll all play it here on Christmas Eve. Oh, yeah, for the kids.
Yeah, that's an enduring classic. Yeah.
It is. Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends at Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair, a veteran-owned business, with Jeff Wurst, who wishes everybody a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. If you've got a chip in your windshield or a crack over 24 inches in length, up to 24 inches in length, he can fix it. He can assist you. He guarantees his work. He is the only one in town that can do that. He fixes it so it's even stronger than it was when it cracked. All of this at Redding Crackmaster Windshield Repair. Give him a call at 241-8373 or stop by 3208 Market Street, right here in Redding. And Bob's getting ready to take his car down there, his truck down there.
Yeah, our Yukon, when we made our Portland trip, picked up a dime-sized ding, courtesy of somebody in front of us.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the Ford down there too. I got a bunch of little bitty little ding 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 dings through the windshield, so it's time to get it fixed. Serviceman's Feast this weekend. This was such a huge success. About 800 people served there at the Veterans Memorial Hall. 200 more dinners went out. Turkey, ham, everything. All of this at put on by our Missing in America project. Walmart Heart helped with this. They are always out there helping our veterans. And then our ladies. And I don't know what the name of the group of the ladies is, but it's headed up by Linda Kent, who's here on Sundays with Sovereign Mind. And I tell you what, Linda and her ladies are so strong and so much in support of things going on around here. So Linda and Missing in America Project, Fred Salante, Dave, all those guys and girls out there, thank you so much. Dinner for our military, police, and fire and families fed 1,000 people for free. For free. A lot of things dedicated. A lot of people cooking turkeys at their home and bringing them in. And then they sent a bunch of dinners out to people, not only here in Redding, but up in the Siskiyou County. Veterans, servicemen, police, and firemen. Yep. Okay. Now, Hillary. Hillary during the. Did you hear about this? This is a petty thing before I get into bigger things. But, you know, Hillary was late coming back from, during the debate.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but the other thing she did, she refused to share the bathroom. I don't know what kind of impact it would have had on the guys, but she refused to share the bathroom. I know it's a petty thing, but people are saying, well, why would she refuse to share the bathroom? I mean, I'm sure it was that there was this is the other thing, too. I mean, there's female bathrooms and there's male bathrooms, and I'm sure there might be others, in between bathrooms, transgender types.
But there were staff members
I'm sure that must have been it. Anyway, they wanted to, also use the facilities while everybody was on the, between stage things. But I don't know. Maybe Hillary was just in there just saying, you know what, I just need a little time to myself. Yeah. Have you ever been in the bathroom when you just want a little time to yourself? And don't deny this. You remember, you work here. Okay. Have you ever just wanted to be in there, nobody's knocking on the door and say, hey, how about the rest of us?
Yeah.
My grandson, he disappears. Where's Michael? His mom goes, oh, he's in the bathroom. He's in there with his book. I went, whoa. He's starting early. He's in his man room there. Hillary, though.
The reading room.
Hillary makes a statement. This is not an anti-Hillary show today, because I tell you, there's more than enough to go around, like with the Republicans who voted for this budget. But our guy didn't vote for it. LaMalfa didn't vote for it. voted for this budget that I just, we'll get into that later. Hillary says that Donald Trump's statements, they're using videos of Donald Trump to recruit for ISIS. She says this. Trump the next day comes out swinging and says, prove it. There is nothing like that happening. Nobody is using my tapes to use for recruiting for ISIS. I want an apology. Well, you know, as it turns out, Trump's right, Hillary's wrong. There's nowhere out there that shows they're even using his words. Nothing out there for type of recruiting. But this is just Hillary throwing it out there. Oh, she's trying to instill fear, right?
Absolutely.
She's trying to instill fear. Now, Trump's already made some stupid comments out there. I don't want any Mormons. I don't want any Muslims coming into the country. You know, he walked that one back. Okay, until we get our arms around everybody that's coming in here, I don't want anybody coming here who's not checked. Yeah. Well, do you? I don't. I don't want anybody coming into this country that hasn't come through some kind of background check. That means you got to shut down the border. All these people that are coming across the border, we don't know who they are. Oh, but they don't look. They don't look Muslim. Have you ever seen Chechens? Chechens are blonde-haired, blue-eyed guys and girls that are just as Muslim as anybody out there, somebody from the heart of Saudi Arabia. They are. It's just the way it is. But, you know, again, if you are coming to our country legally and you've gone through a background check like my friends did, and I'll keep saying that, or like other people that friends have, like the lady that wrote the Facebook article, the lady that's been in here, Faye, who does came from Hong Kong. They held her out for 6 years away from her family while they're doing all these background checks. Guess what? Go do the background checks. Make them really background checks so we know that they want to come to our country and become Americans and bring them in. No, not because of their certain race or gender or religion or I don't know, whatever, to just make sure that they're not a threat to us.
Well, Carl, we've got enough
homegrown threats.
When people in West Africa were dropping like flies from whatever that fever was that has slipped my mind for the moment, and there was talking about let's hold off on letting anybody from this part from this
Ebola
region, let's hold off on letting anybody in from there.
We quarantined them,
and there was this hue and cry about how evil and nasty we were being about it. Hello, this is something that wipes people out.
I know, and look what happens when some of them got in. I mean, they had to, like, quarantine whole areas there. So, you know, what is so wrong about wanting? There's nothing wrong about it. But you can't make a blanket statement, no Muslims back into the United States. You can't do that. That's silly. First of all, because we have many Muslims in our country that are, you know, that love this country, that want this country to be a success. They're as American as anybody. We just did an article and a letter to the editor from our local imam here. You have to read what this man says. You know, he's an American. He's a Vietnam veteran. He has, you know, he has fought for this country. He believes in this country, but he's against terrorism of any kind. That they need to stand up. We need Islam to help us fight Islamic terrorists. You know, I mean, that's one of the things we found out when we were over fighting Islamic terrorists over in Iraq. You have other people of Islamic culture, of the Islamic faith. Guess what? They are your allies. They will help you track them down because they don't want them in there either. Al-Qaeda was killing off the sheikhs and their kids, you know, trying to take away their leadership. And that's all it took. They turned on them in a heartbeat, came to us and said, we're here to help. And they did. You can't run down ISIS. You're not going to be. These two guys, this man and a woman who did this, man and woman who did this, if somebody had reported them, and they talked to people at the mosque that they prayed at, were totally, you know, taken by surprise too, or as they said.
Mm-hmm.
They said, this guy had a good job, he had a kid, he had a wife, you know, he's living the American dream, kind of is what they were saying. They said they had no idea about this. I don't know. How many times do you hear something, the guy walks out that, and starts killing people? Everybody says, well, yeah, you know, gosh, he seemed like a good guy. He waved at the kids.
Yeah.
How do you know? Anyway. But Hillary's lie was a big one. was that, trying to instill fear. You know what, guys, if we're afraid, then we can do things like we can characterize people. We can make them look like, you know what, Trump and Hitler. You know, I am so tired of people comparing, calling people Nazis and comparing them to Hitler. I don't care what side it is. Until they kill 6 million people or start a concentration camp and start genocide, I don't really compare them to Hitler.
Yeah.
I mean, you can say things like, oh, I don't like what they say. Fine. You don't like what they say. Guess what? First Amendment. But, you know, you start comparing people to Hitler.
Yeah,
and that goes for Rush Limbaugh, feminazis. And, you know, okay, so the only funny one was, of course, was the Nazi soup guy.
Yeah, the soup Nazi.
Now that was kind of funny, but that was done in a, you know, in a humorous vein on the Seinfeld show.
Yeah, you know? I wanted to. I heard an interview on NPR this morning about the longest-serving general in the Marine Corps stepping down. I can't think of his name. He was the commander of the forces in Iraq, and he's just about to retire after 40 years. And I can't. I'll get his name pulled up. But he made an interesting point, talking about these Sunni sheikhs who, the first time he was there, they were trying to kill his people,
right.
And then ISIS moved in. Or the Taliban want to move in.
Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, Al-Qaeda moved in and started killing their people, and they said, well, wait a minute. So, and the point he made to the general was that, yes, my brother, last time I was trying to kill you, but no matter how many times we tried to kill you, you kept coming back. And that's exactly what it takes to get the point across to these folks, is that if they leave you alone, you leave them alone. If they don't leave you alone, you kick them thoroughly, and then you make your point. They respect that.
Well, that, and they understood is that, you know, frankly, we didn't want their property. We didn't want to kill them. Let's take a quick break here. We'll be right back after these messages. It's 44 degrees out there, going up to 49 today. We're going to be raining all day long. It's going to be like this. So get used to it, and we'll try to, and then tomorrow some rain starts tapering off. And by Wednesday, we hope that the rain will be dropping off. And Thursday, the day before Christmas, no rain. And then on Christmas Day, no rain. 44 degrees out there, going up to 49. Weather report always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Give them a call, 365-3793. We'll be right back. It's 14 minutes until 8 o'clock here on the 21st of December.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, Christmas is coming next, so Kathy's got gift cards that you can get for the person that has everything. We have a whole bunch of new Toyo Tommy kerosene heaters in for Christmas and ready to go. Kurt and Ricky are delivering kerosene everywhere in the mountains. Cody and Gary are doing a lot in the plant, filling clear pearl for the portable heaters and propane bottles and bulk oil. And thank you to all the customers of ours that use the Muse card locks for trucks, cars, and equipment. Mike Alcorn, the driver of our shiny truck and trailer, has Driver of the Month Award for cleanest truck. Robin is doing a great job keeping up with all of our ag customers and corning and deliveries. Joe at Weaverville plant is very busy filling propane bottles and kerosene. Northern Lights Energy, keeping families warm, tanks full, and always there before you need us. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
She was crying when I first met her. Dawn Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Newly engaged, she had just crashed the vehicle they bought together. It had rolled over an embankment, and every panel had to be repaired or replaced. A full paint job was also required. Our estimate was well over $20,000.
Now he won't want to marry me, she cried.
When he arrived, he comforted her and was glad she was safe. On the day of delivery, I learned they were moving out of state immediately. I had inspected the vehicle and test-driven it myself. But a drive over a couple of states, in the mountains, and long desert stretches made me feel uneasy. I was confident in our repair, but what if the unexpected happened? A few days later, he called, and my heart skipped a beat. Hi, Don. Just wanted you to know the car drove perfectly, not even a squeak. It's times like this when I love this business. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Orchard Nutrition Center's creed is their promise, to offer only the highest quality products that follow strict manufacturing guidelines, because you deserve to live life to the fullest. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition has always believed that we are all in it together, because the food you eat is a lot more than just a daily activity. The things you consume affect every aspect of your life. Orchard Nutrition Center hosts many exciting educational events throughout the year, including seminars each month featuring experts who present the latest information on a variety of health and nutritional topics. The main focus is on helping you understand how your body works and how to live healthy. These seminars are a great way to learn interesting information in person, and there's always an opportunity to ask questions and really get clarification from the experts. Bring your friends and family. Reservations are not required, but seating is limited. Visit Orchard Nutrition Center on Facebook for seminar schedules, speakers, and topics. Orchard Nutrition Center, your friendly, local, whole food store.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning, everybody. 10 minutes until 8 o'clock. Gene Autry.
Was he a hero of yours growing up?
Oh, yeah. Gene Autry, Roy Rogers.
I want to go to the museum. I never did make it there.
I made it up there to that museum, Roy Rogers Museum, and the Gene Autry Museum down in, of course, that was a huge art museum
there.
Got
cool cars and stuff, too.
It's got great things. Good morning, everybody. It is 10 minutes until 8 o'clock. 44 degrees out there. Going to be raining all day. Rain should be tapering off until there's none on Christmas Eve and Friday, Christmas Day. So I hope everybody's having a good morning already. Weather Report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane again. This portion of the show brought to you by Mighty Fine Foods. Our friends over there, Mighty Fine Foods, locally owned and operated by father and son, Ed and Kyle DeFore. And Kyle is one of the people that does our football games, too, and well, in baseball. So we're going to have to kind of like be pulling him back in here some more here in Colt 45 start. Full Deli and Butcher Shop. You can get select choice of meats out there at Mighty Fine Foods. On the corner of 299 and Deschutes at the best prices in town. Yeah, that's right. Over 1,000 drinks, including over 250 kinds of beers. So if you're looking for, say you've got a beer aficionado in your house. So what you do is you go out there and you find, sometimes it's just a six-pack. Sometimes it's just maybe a quart, but it's from all over the world. Kyle goes out and he finds these different beers and he brings them in. So you can maybe only get a six-pack or maybe actually be a case, but it's something different to give to somebody that enjoys beer. A lot of people enjoy beer out there. Anyway, it's your one-stop shop. Anytime you come in, it's the world's largest convenience store or the world's smallest supermarket. All of this right there at Mighty Fine Foods, locally owned, locally operated. They just support our veterans. They support many things in this community. Going out and see them. Again, Mighty Fine Foods on the corner of 299 and Deschutes Road. Did you see where there's a fake bomb? They had a fake bomb?
Yeah. It was possibly a test of some sort or just... Yeah. You don't...
This is on an Air France flight, my friends, that stopped it. I mean, but it looked like when it had toilet paper, it had a timer on it, it had everything.
It's a way to disrupt the flow. And it's like these emails that are being sent to school districts now. We're seeing these copycats. Is it Baltimore today that... shut down school today because of an emailed threat? We had Los Angeles last week. And so how easy is it to post a threat on an email and they have to respond to them? And it's the first time that they don't respond to it, then there'll be an incident.
Well, maybe, but the New York school system got the same kind of threat and they did not shut down. They looked at it and said, thought it was bogus. By the way, just an announcement, just as you probably heard on the news, is that Lindsey Graham is no longer running for president, considering he had like a 1% support from the populace. I can understand that, maybe 1.5%. And Lindsey Graham's kind of a strange guy. I mean, he is just giving fodder and more fodder and more fodder to those who don't like Trump or Cruz. And you know, this is the kind of guy, of course, is supported by McCain because McCain and Graham are just like really tight out there, and some of the things they've done in the past have been strange. Does Lindsey Graham have lots of experience? Yeah, he has lots of experience in foreign affairs and this, but he's another one. Even though he's like a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force Reserves or something, this is another man. We're looking for a leader out there, and that's my problems with Trump.
I don't know if Trump has got those leadership abilities.
He's a salesman.
He's a supreme manager. But is he the kind of guy that you want to follow into a fight? If Trump says to you, we have got to tighten up here. You know what? We have got to get this. We've got to get this. These unfunded liabilities, this trillion-dollar debt under control. So we're going to have to start cutting back. Now, is this the kind of guy that can lead you into that, knowing that the man's a billionaire?
California knows only too well what happens when you put a celebrity at the head of the table. Arnold came in roaring out, pushed Gray out of office and was going to do all this good stuff and got his clock cleaned.
Yeah, but we also had Ronald Reagan, who was a celebrity.
Yeah.
Okay, see, you got to balance them out there. And you got Jerry Brown, who is, you can arguably say, has done a lot of things for the state, you know, some good, some bad. But, you know, at least he's more of a pragmatist than some of these others. Yeah, Gavin Newsom is going to be a disaster for the state. You think businesses are moving out now? Wait till Gavin Newsom gets in here. And trust me, he will. Yeah, because people will buy his, let me give you more. And by the way, I'm just going to take all your guns away from you because California needs to lead the nation in being a confiscation, somebody that confiscates everything from you, including your right to work and everything else that goes along with it. The problems that I see with this.
I just want to know how tight Gavin Newsom and Leland Yee were.
I don't know. Wouldn't it be great if you found out that Gavin Newsom also was in that deal? Let's go to the phones. Kay, good morning.
Hi, Carl. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And everybody, Bob and everybody.
Yeah.
I was wondering, when you were going through officers training school and all that with the military history and military strategy and everything, did you ever study the difference between fighting armies of countries versus little ragamuffin groups that weren't really connected to any countries? As
yeah, one of them is conventional warfare, one's asymmetrical warfare that you have to hunt down. You know, when you've got small units out there operating independently, that's the toughest ones to fight. Because you can stamp out, like it's like whack-a-mole, you know. You get, you know, where, you know, the heads pop up and you hit them, then another head pops up. That can go on forever. It's not like a conventional army where you can destroy it and cut off its head and do all these things. When you have an unconventional warfare, asymmetrical warfare, that you can wipe out many cells, but they keep multiplying. Until you can get to it.
Pop up when you think you've gotten them.
Well, and that can happen too. But you know, but see what happened during the conventional war, like World War II. We stayed in Japan and we stayed in Germany. We rebuilt them, and they became strong allies of ours. When we go into Iraq, we should have stayed in Iraq. Obama pulled us out. Obama and Hillary Clinton pulled us out of Iraq too soon. They were not ready to, and they couldn't defend their borders. Here comes Iran into the place, you know, pushing in all types of money and weapons, and they, you know, and now here they are with ISIS, horribly bad example of leadership on the leader of the commander in chief,
right?
In my opinion,
yeah. Well, it seems so different than, you know, and now they're, I mean, like, France would never come over here probably and with their army and try to get us, you know, or a country. But these people are coming over and infiltrating everything.
Well, that's true. It seems to be happening that we have people in here. And here's the other part, too, under this new $1 trillion bill of bringing in more people in here that's going to take jobs of Americans. And we're talking about good paying jobs. We're not talking, you know, stoop labor in the fields jobs they're talking about. And I'm kind of concerned about what in the heck the Republicans, even though it was the Democrats that helped push through the budget here, you know, and I can't wait to hear what LaMoffa says about this budget. He voted against it.
Well, and, you know,
so
when he was on, maybe not the last time, but the time before last, when I was listening to you interviewing him, he just sounded, he was whining on, and he sounded like Obama to me.
Well, You know, everybody has a bad day now and then.
Yeah, well, he has bad days, and then he has a good day, and he thinks that we should forgive it. And I mean, I'm sorry. I think he's had his time. I don't think that, I mean, that's the problem with Wally Herger stayed in too long. Everyone we've had has stayed on too long. I mean,
well, Amafa's only been there 4 years, so is that too long?
Well, but that sometimes too long is varies for different people.
Okay.
I think it's time. And the other thing that made me upset with them is one of the first rules of Ronald Reagan is you do not
attack Republicans.
Take sides during primaries.
Right.
And we are not. He was put up as the one in the primary.
Kay, we got to run.
Okay, we'll see you.
Okay, thanks, Kay.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, hey, look, we've got to run here. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. We got the news. We'll have Leonard Mody when we get back, supervisor, head of the supervisors, board of supervisors right here in Shasta County.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew. A big announcement today from South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, who told his supporters he is suspending his presidential campaign. The announcement came on the same day as a deadline for him to remove his name from the South Carolina primary ballot. Some analysts say Graham didn't want to risk having a poor performance in his own home state in the primary. This assessment of Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton from GOP frontrunner Donald Trump.
She always lies.
Trump telling NBC's Today Show there's no evidence to support Clinton's claim that ISIS is using Trump's comments about Muslims to attract extremist fighters from around the world.
I will demand an apology from Hillary. She should apologize. She lies about emails. She lies about Whitewater. She lies about everything.
There was no evidence to back up the claim, and a spokeswoman for Clinton's campaign said that she did not have any particular video in mind. Democratic Bernie Sanders, meanwhile, says Donald Trump's call to ban Muslims from entering the U.S. and some other comments are hurting the nation's image. He appeared on CBS's This Morning.
Donald Trump is doing a great disservice to our country internationally, fanning hatred for the United States.
A woman remains in custody and is being blood tested after police say she drove up a busy Las Vegas sidewalk yesterday, killing one person, injuring at least 30 others.
We have determined that this is an intentional act. That means that our LVMPD homicide section will be handling the investigation.
That's Las Vegas Metro Police Deputy Chief Brent Zimmerman. The incident took place in front of a casino. This man, Antonio Nassar, was an eyewitness.
She came to stop maybe 100 feet or so from where she passed me up at the intersection of Paris and the Strip. And then she gunned it again and started plowing over more people.
Police say at this point there's no indication it was a terrorist attack. Things are booming on Wall Street for the Dow anyway. It's up by 90 points right now. More on these stories from townhall.com.
Do you have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels of America's Choice in senior home care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
Are you living with pain? So was Lisa, a brave Marine wounded in Iraq.
After surviving an explosion, I was on horrible painkillers. I tried one-hour pain relief, and now I'm pain-free all day without dangerous side effects. And it works in less than 1 hour.
Try it free for 1 week and pay only the shipping with no automatic shipments. Call 800-700-8010 right now or visit onehourpainrelief.com. That's 800-700-8010. 800-700-8010.
Congress is out of town for the holidays after first passing a massive spending bill to keep government up and running. We get the details from correspondent Linda Kenyon.
The House and the Senate passed the omnibus bill and then turned their attention to their wish list for 2016. Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid spoke first.
I hope that next Congress will get the appropriation bills done. I hope we'll do something to help the middle class, like raise the minimum wage.
Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was equally forward-thinking.
I know Harry has said on several occasions, we want to get past each appropriation bill next year. I say amen. Help us do it, and we'll do it.
A bill-by-bill appropriations process would avoid the kind of end-of-the-year brinksmanship and talk of government shutdowns that have characterized recent sessions of Congress. Linda Kenyon, Capitol Hill.
Mitsubishi Motors is recalling roughly 25,000 Mirages with model years 2014 and 2015. That's on concern certain wires could corrode. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. The financial markets are up and down in early trading. Right now it's a Dow up 82 points, but the S&P 500 not far behind. It's up by about 70 right now. American exporters say lobster shipments to European countries, including France, Italy, and Spain, are down because of the strong dollar and less than the festive economy overseas right now. Supermarkets rely on those crustaceans to draw shoppers around the holidays. In particular, American shippers say they're in the midst of a weak year. They say demand is growing, however, in China. On the bright side, gasoline price analyst Toby Lundberg says nationwide gasoline prices were down another 4 pennies over the last couple of weeks.
Ever since summer, refiners have been getting lower prices for the oil they have to buy, and they've been making gasoline, giving it to distributors and retailers at lower prices.
The lowest price for drivers now since April of 2009. More of these stories at townhall.com.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's Monday, the 21st of December. It's 6 after 8 right here in the studios of KCNR 1460. Linda is with the children and grandchildren. They all pulled in Saturday night. Oh, yeah, man. I mean, am I happy about that? We're just all commenting on it here. So, Bob, tell us what the weather's going to be like for the rest of the week here.
Rain likely with a high of 49, and we'll see accumulation of about an inch today. Tonight that will continue. Tomorrow's the sun will peek through. The same thing into Wednesday. Wednesday night into Thursday, more rain showers. And then as we head into Christmas Day, should be sunny skies, and then the rain will return on Sunday, and a possibility of the snow levels dropping down into the foothills and even into the valley by Sunday night. So right now in Reading, we are looking at about 44 degrees. The report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
A veteran-owned business where they give senior and veterans discounts. Their customers are warm friends. Give them a call at 365-3793. Shasta Gas Propane is an award-winning business. The state of California awarded them one of the top three small businesses in the state that hire veterans.
By the way, we do have a wind alert from the National Weather Service. With all this rain that's fallen and ground's gotten a little saturated, we could see 50-mile-an-hour gusts in the next 24 hours. I forgot to add that. So batten down the hatches. Yeah.
Well, if that's the case, we've got the right people here to talk about what's going on in the county. I'm sitting here with the Board of Supervisors, the head of the Board of Supervisors, the head supervisor, Leonard Modi, the big man on campus there, and, of course, the county executive officer, Larry Lees. Both at one spot at the same time, a heat tap could take them both out. So,
Good morning, Carl.
Now, with 50-mile-an-hour winds and all this rain, does this mean is that the county's going to have county roads that are closed with trees falling over the place?
Well, obviously we hope not, but certainly there is that potential when you have this type of rain that has come. You know, and I was looking at the Caltrans camps this morning, and, you know, I-5 just north of Lakehead is getting a ton of snow right now also. And so all the roads are pretty much impacted.
Lakehead is getting north of Lakehead. where Mount Shasta is?
Yeah.
Because we're supposed to head up there today to do some tubing with the kids.
Right now, if you're pulling off south of Mount Shasta, it's solid snow right now.
Oh, we may have to wait for a little bit on that. Yeah. Maybe do a little bit later in the week. Today, we might just have to do shopping today.
Yeah.
Yeah, radar right now between Dunsmuir and Mount Shasta, it's all white through there. So you're going to want to
might want to hold off on that then. Okay. All right. Hey, good morning. Thanks a lot for coming here. It's the end of the year.
Good morning.
Leonard, there's a lot of things that have been happening, and let's just start with the Blueprint for Safety. That's the big thing that has come out. They've come out with a lot of ideas, things they want to do, and we're going to try and hit on a lot of those, especially the mental health. But one of the things they talked about was the enforcement capabilities and if there's enough money to expand that facility that's being built right now.
Yeah, and let me just start with saying that the Blueprint is not the end product. The Blueprint really is just a compilation of a lot of ideas and suggestions and a chance, I think, to start the dialogue amongst the cities and the county as to what we want our region to look like in the future. So I think that's going to be really important to have that conversation, and I think the public should definitely get involved whenever they can because it's going to help us find a solution. To your issue about the suggested increased size of the new rehabilitation center, I would tell you that it's not about should we make it bigger or not. I've always said that I'm okay with it being bigger and having additional beds. The bigger issue is how do you pay for it? And the problem is we don't have the money to pay for it. It kind of started when we were looking at building it back in October of 2013, and the sheriff told us that it would cost an additional $2.1 million to run it beyond our current jail costs. Well, fast forward about a year and a half, and that jumped to $3.1 million. I'm not sure we have $3.1 million to run the 64-bed facility. So building a bigger one when you can't afford to operate the one you're going to build doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It just means the money has to come from someplace else. So do you take it from the library? Do you take it from the deputy's pay? Do you take it from Public Works, which doesn't have that much money to start with?
Not general fund.
Yeah. So where does it come from? And that's the problem. It's easy to have big ideas and want a lot of stuff, but like we do in our own households, you may want to buy that brand new car, but you don't because you can't afford it. And that's kind of where we're at today.
The sheriff's figures, his numbers, were different than what you all were seeing. Is that correct?
Well, I don't know if it's different. I think it's just that he left part of the information out. You know, he talked about the fact that we could take money out of reserves and pay for it. But what he didn't tell you is those reserves are earmarked for the renovation of the old courthouse when the courts move out. And that, why that's important is by renovating the old courthouse, we figure we can move all of our outside departments back into one building and quit paying lease payments. Well, that's about $1 million in savings, and that's $1 million that Larry counted on to pay for that $3.1 million. So if you take the money from there, then you don't have that savings, so now you're even short.
And I think the other thing to pay attention to is the fact that, you know, what I've heard on the street is that there is enough money to build it. There is enough money to build it. And that is a true statement, although we're taking it from those reserves, which, as Chairman Modi just explained, it's not something we want to do. But that is an accurate statement. There is enough money to build it. No money has ever been identified to operate it. No money has ever been identified to operate the expansion. And there is the gap that we're talking about here today. We don't have the money to operate it.
Is it going to cost that much more for, the facility for those other 64 people?
Yes.
I mean, I was under the impression it's going to take, you know, approximately, there may be some extra people, but it wouldn't be that many more.
Well, it could be, you know, $300,000 or $400,000 more.
I think that was it. It was like another.
But the problem is I don't know that the sheriff's numbers are good to start with. Because remember, he went from 2.1 to 3.1 in a year's time. So if you miss your estimate by 50%, how good are your numbers at 3.1? We had an example, and Larry can go into about the juvenile hall. But if you want to talk,
Well, and there's the that was the red flag for me is as we opened up the juvenile hall juvenile rehabilitation center, which was absolutely the thing to do. We opened that up, and we were concerned about the additional operating costs. Well, that almost doubled. Well, it more than doubled, almost tripled. It went from $300,000 to $1 million in about 6 months. And so I'm concerned about what the true operating costs are going to be on any facility that we open, whether it be mental health or an adult rehabilitation center or a juvenile rehabilitation center. And I have to tell you, I'm pretty fond of juvenile rehabilitation center because the more kids we can turn around there, we don't need the jail space for them as they become adults.
Do we know what recidivism rate is for those kids coming out of the juvenile hall? Because the reason I ask is I taught there, because you have to teach, you have ongoing school classes going, and I substitute taught there, and it was really the atmosphere was very amazing. Now I know what I'd be teaching them. It had nothing to do with what they would be learning in school ordinarily, because they're mixed classes. They go anywhere from 12-year-olds, I think it's 12, all the way up to like 17-year-olds. Now they're segregated in the facility, but in the classroom, we had them all in there. I'm not sure they were learning anything. Do we have any idea what is, because they go through counseling there too and all this? Because I was just on one end of it.
We're actually tracking recidivism rate for those. And another thing that we might get to is the day reporting center.
Yeah.
We've got new numbers on the recidivism for the day reporting center.
I'd like to hear that too.
Which is very, very interesting.
Okay, I tell you what, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back here. I'm with Chairman of the Supervisors, Leonard Modi, and also the County Executive Officer, Larry Lees. And we're talking about, we talked about the jail, okay? It's believed by Chairman Modi and Larry that we don't have the money to run it, and we're going to have to pull that money out of reserves that we've already spent. For the new courthouse. I'm just kind of like paraphrasing all this down. When we come back, we want to talk about recidivism rate out of the county, but also what's going on with our day reporting center. And then as we want to progress on into, especially into the mental health and the idea of a sobering center, how that could work for both the county and the city. And then a couple other things through here. So we'll be right back after these messages. It's 16 minutes after 8, 44 degrees out there today, December the 21st.
Merry Christmas to you.
Melikalikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day.
View 202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, View 202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almondine. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202-226-8439. That's 226-8439.
NorCal Limousine Services is a family-owned business right here in Reading. We offer beautiful limousines and sedans with rates starting as low as $55 per hour. Do you have kids? We have amazing birthday packages for as low as $150. Sure, they can jump around all day or enjoy a memorable birthday they will talk about for years to come with NorCal Limousine. Driving to any of the major airports from Reading can be a drag. Ride with us in style and avoid the long drive and parking fees. We service the Sacramento and San Francisco airports as well as all the cruise lines.
Hello, my name is Jamie, the owner of NorCal Limousine, and I have over 14 years in experience in the limousine industry. I know how to treat you right and will always be discreet. If you have never rented a limo before, you should give us a call at 276-8851. It's more affordable than you think and a whole lot more fun than driving yourself.
Like our Facebook, check out our Yelp reviews, and mention KCNR for additional savings. That's NorCal Limousine at 276-8851 or NorCalLimo.com. TCP 31143.
Take your passion.
Hi, Linda Bodden here from KCNR.
And Nathan Parmalee from Reading's own Civic Auditorium.
The Reading Civic is bringing the excitement to its newly updated theater. The 2015-2016 season promises to wow you and include a 15% savings option when you purchase tickets to three or more shows.
So start your holiday season with the exquisite artistry of Moscow Ballet's Great Russian Nutcracker. Enjoy heartfelt Christmas classics with the Oak Ridge Boys Christmas Show, and take in the stunning debut of the Civic's very own production of Christmas Carol, A Love Story.
2016 kicks off with the pop culture phenomenon of Flashdance the Musical,
the devilishly funny production of C.S. Lewis's Screwtape Letters,
the wildly theatrical show Blue Man Group, and the fun family experience of Chris Perandi's Stunt Dog Experience.
For tickets and more, visit ReadingCivic.com or the Reading Civic box office.
See you at the show!
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Ooh, Merry Christmas, Christmas comes this time each year. Ooh,
welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460. 19 minutes after 8 o'clock here on the 21st of December. 44 degrees, going up to 49 today. A lot of rain today. If you're heading north, at Lakehead, you're hitting snow, and you're hitting heavy snow going up there. So, and that could be going on most of the day if you're going up to Mount Shasta, which is opened up, of course, the ski park, so all the skiers are going to love it. But it's getting up there that may be the problem. I'm sure they're trying to keep the roads open, as we have just a great Caltrans crews up there. This portion of the show brought to you by View 202 this coming weekend. Going down and come on down and have brunch on Sunday. Listen to Linda sing. It'll be a little bit after Christmas, but okay, everybody's going to be having a great time sitting in there, kind of coming in after, get that after Christmas glow. Come on in and have brunch. Bottomless mimosas. Mimosas is Stella Artois beer with some kind of orange liqueur in it. You can drink like 12 of those. And okay, maybe you can, Larry. Carl can't.
Okay.
of course, after I see your third one, then I pick up the phone and dial 911. Larry Lees has been drinking mimosas. Okay,
he doesn't even drink. Drink.
That's okay. You know what?
That's right.
I can say anything I want. I get paid for it.
That's right.
I try to get the right stuff out there. Anyway, come on down. Have a great brunch. Listen to Linda from 11 to 1. View 202, they really helped out our kids with and the children here in town when they had that Jingle All the Way last weekend and collected hundreds of toys for Toys for Tots. I'm really on thank View 202 at that. All right, that's this weekend from 11 to 1 brunch there with Linda and her band. Okay, I'm here with the chairman of the Board of Supervisors, Leonard Modi, who hasn't aged at all, even with all the things going on through here. And, of course, County Executive Officer Larry Lees, who I wish I could say that.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, seriously. When we come back, and we talked about the recidivism rate, because I also believe that you want to catch these kids.
I agree.
You can change the kids, and that's at domestic violence and criminal, in their criminal life. So what kind of recidivism rate, and since you've been saying we've got statistics?
We have, I don't have current on the juvenile rehabilitation, but this is the data that I will share with you, so it's not just a gut feeling. And then we'll talk about the Day Reporting Center if you'd like. But for the juvenile rehabilitation center, when we did that, we purposely changed the name. It's no longer Juvenile Hall. It's Juvenile Rehabilitation Center. And so it was built in a way that we could have those programs in there. You know, I would say 3 years ago, 4 years ago, we had almost 30 individuals in that juvenile facility. We are now, about three months ago, we are down to 8. Now, with that being said, we're back up to about 17 right now. And so it fluctuates a little bit. But the point is that we have made a big difference in those that were having to be maintained at the hall.
We just haven't changed the definition like we have for AB 109 or Prop 47, then, right?
Correct.
Okay, so these are real true figures.
Correct.
So
that's data.
There used to be only 30 there? That was really dropped from the time when I was teaching there. There was lots of kids.
Well, you know, there were more kids when you include that which was at the camp. But keep in mind, we are also taking kids from outside the county also. And so right now we're limiting it to kids from Shasta County.
Okay. All right. So, so what do they do there? Are they counseling the kids? Are they dealing with the problems they're having?
They absolutely are, and it might be a good radio show
It will be. I'm going to try and schedule that one.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah. But not only the counseling, you know, we're actually working with their families, which we're looking for the family support. Sometimes it's not necessarily mom and dad. Sometimes it's grandma and grandpa, aunt and uncles. But we're looking for that foundation to help, as well as obviously we still have school going on too.
Uh-huh. Okay, you talked about the day center.
The day reporting center. I'm pretty excited about that. I'm not naive, so I don't want to go crazy on it. But we just had a graduation last Wednesday night, so a week ago.
Right.
And we had 18 individuals graduate from the day reporting center. Now, what that means is that they've gone through sometimes a year-and-a-half program, sometimes a two-and-a-half-year program, depending on the individual. But what that means is that these are folks that are clean, sober, and have prospects. Some of them already have jobs. In fact, some of the graduates weren't there because they had jobs. Now, park that 18 that graduated last Wednesday night. Prior to that, we had 41 graduate. Now, I will admit the Day Reporting Center was off to a very slow start. It took us a while to get it up and running.
And we've talked about that a lot.
Yeah.
That, you know, the person running it and trying to get that thing started. But it's water under the bridge.
Right.
So, a lot of things, now we're just looking forward.
Right. So not counting the 18, we've had 41 graduate in the last 2 years. Out of those 41s, as of Wednesday night, I checked the recidivism rate. That means how many folks are falling back into their old ways. We've had four. Actually, and one was a pre-sentence or a pre-charged individual. So we've had four fall back where they needed to get back and and be incarcerated. That's 10% recidivism rate. I'm not naive. I don't think it's going to be that good. You know, we're going to track these folks from day one. So some of these we've tracked for 2 years, but we'll continue to track it. I think that number's going to be a little higher. But when you compare that to 75% or 80% recidivism for a state penitentiary, and now we're down to 10 or maybe 20%, and again, it's 10 now, but I think it's going to be a little higher as time goes on. That's outstanding numbers when you're thinking that you could actually turn that many people around.
Does the county receive money? It still receives money for the AB 109s, right?
We receive money for the AB 109, and that is actually spent by recommendations from the Community Corrections Program.
Now, the Community Corrections Program, if I understand right, is made up of the chief of police, the sheriff, the parole board, or the
probation
chief.
Are you on it too, Larry?
I am not.
Okay,
no.
You're not on it, but the district attorney is, and the public defender
is,
and maybe a couple others.
Health and Human Services.
Okay. For mental health.
All right, so they're the ones that, you know, and I've read their plan years ago, and I don't think it's probably changed very much. I mean, it's really it's kind of pie in the sky, a lead boilerplate, and all this on this. But how much money do we get for AB 109s?
It's in the $7 million.
Yeah, exactly.
$7 million range.
Yeah, the reason I raised my eyebrows is it goes up and down, and there's a percentage, an allocation that the state gives to every county, and it's kind of a complicated percentage, but the formula. But it does go up and down because you get incentive points if you're not sending people to prison and you're actually rehabilitating.
Okay, so let's just say it's $5 million, you know, because it goes up and down. Where's that $5 million go when it comes in? Does that go to law enforcement?
Oh yeah, but yeah, it does.
All of it, or
well, a large portion went to the sheriff for the jail operations to open up the third floor of the jail. He also continues to get $500,000 for out of county placements of inmates. Some of it goes to the police department. Some of it goes to mental health.
Police department, too. Okay.
Yes.
Some of the city.
Yes.
All right. And some of the mental health.
Yeah. The majority is public safety.
Yeah. It's divvied up to the local agencies.
Okay.
And you know, and just to finish off that thought, they put the plan together, but in the end, it has to be approved. Well, it has to be approved by the Board of Supervisors, although it's really in effect unless we unapprove it. It's kind of a backwards thing where it takes...
Yeah. You have to go back and look at it.
We can't change it unless there's a 4/5 vote to change it. So it's the way the legislature wrote the bill.
Well, you all have 4/5 votes now and then.
Yeah, but
sometimes even 5-0s.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, like when we voted for Turn Creek Bottom. That was 5-0. That was several times 5-0s.
You know what? And we would have $2 million extra to help us run a new jail if we
did
that.
You know what? Don't get me started on this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Larry and Curry here, I want to ask that. Let me ask that question real quick right now. we've had different businesses come in, and latest is 3M out there, that were going to be literally bringing in millions of dollars to our community in taxes. And where they've been approved by government, they've been kicked out by citizens, which is, you know, that's their prerogative.
Right.
At what point does this become one of the driving factors when people want to open a business up here?
Well, we had that discussion all the time. We are concerned that businesses that want to bring their services here may look at it and say, this may not be the community for me, and what effect will that have us on the long term?
I know that Mark LaSalle, when he was when he's working with companies, because it takes years for somebody that wants to bring in a several million dollars worth of company
here.
It takes them several years, and so many different things affect it, like something that happens in Europe can affect us getting a company here. This, what you're just saying and what I see here is if somebody has got something that could even be considered a threat to somebody, you know, I don't know, the environment or whatever, the way we live, the chance of it happening here is going to be tough.
It is tough. It is tough. And you look at 3M, and over time, that was going to be, you know, close to, tens of millions of dollars investment. They were ready to go on that, but there was some that did not feel as strongly about their presence here in Shasta County.
Can I jump back to the rehabilitation, because you were talking about that with the kids and stuff.
Right.
And one thing I wanted to point out with the new adult rehabilitation center is, you know, it's not just a matter of how many beds are there, because, you know, we, as I just mentioned, we can send people out of county and place them in other counties, like Lassen County has lots of extra room, and it's actually cheaper for us. It's like costs us $114 a day ourselves, but $70 a day if we put them over there. But the bigger issue I want to talk about is the key word in it is rehabilitation. And so the whole focus of this new center is to rehabilitate criminals. But you don't have to be in custody to go to the programs, and that's what's important to note. If you're on, you know, home confinement or home electronic confinement or work release or probation, or you can still be assigned and come in to the programs at the facility and go through them. So, if we're going to help people, we can do that without necessarily having them to be in custody at the jail. So that's an important factor that needs to be added to that discussion.
I understand that, and I think again, rehabilitation. My thought process, and I think a lot of other people's thought process is starting to shift over. You're tired of getting houses broken into and this stuff. Now where little old ladies are getting their purses stolen. I mean, that's just, you know, when you really wish she had a 357 Magnum in that purse.
And
just leaves him there.
And I'll tell you, Carl, I'm old school. I mean, I grew up through the law enforcement system where you put bad guys in jail, and that's what you did. But I think the state taught us an important lesson. You know, they warehoused, you know, a bunch of felons in their state system, and then they came back out and just reoffended with rather quickly. And
they reoffended us.
We're better felons.
Well,
it's a school for criminals. I mean, this is right down to.
And so it shows us that it didn't work, and it cost us a lot of money. So we have to start rethinking, particularly on the younger ages and the more minor offenses. Yeah. How can we change them before they become serious?
Okay, well, let's talk about that when we get back from this break. I'm here with the chairman of the Board of Supervisors, Leonard Modi, and the county executive officer, Larry Lee. We're talking about what we should be looking at now, because crime it's went up after AB 109, went up after Prop 47. We don't have a place to put them in jail. But then that's just one part of it. It's not just the incarceration side of it. If we build a 500-bed jail and had the money for it, we also have to build the courtrooms, judges, and all that stuff that goes along with it to keep it going. However, there's got to be ways that we can get our arms around this, and that's what we want to talk about that when we get back. It's about 27 minutes until 9 o'clock out here on Monday, the 21st of December, 44 degrees out there. We'll be right back.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane.
My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 18 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta and Tehama counties. We're coming off of a fairly warm winter, but I know that many people still receive some high monthly propane bills, which can be hard on the budget. Shasta Gas is now enrolling some of our customers in our Easy Payment Program, where we estimate your annual propane bill and divide that by 11 equal payments. So instead of getting a $400 bill each month next winter, you could make much smaller payments each month beginning in May. Also, Easy Payment customers receive a discount on the price they pay for propane as a thank you for being in the program. So if you're interested in dealing with a locally owned, family-operated propane company and making smaller monthly payments on your propane bill, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
This is Carl Bott. I'm sitting with Ted Ogilvie here, manager and head driller of Diamond Core Drilling. You know, Ted, with all this water shortage and the drought that's going on, people have a lot of questions about their water wells. What can Diamond Core Drilling do for these people?
I've seen a lot of people run out of water, and it takes a very long time to get a driller scheduled. What we like to do is see if we can pull a Department of Water Resources log that shows the construction details of the well. And then we also like to come out and do an actual site visit and inspect the well and see if there's anything that can be done with the well.
Now, this is a free consultation, right?
Yeah, absolutely, Carl. We don't charge anything for that. We've been providing water well services since 1980. We're veteran-owned, veteran-managed. You can reach us at area code 530-275-8162, or you can visit our website, diamondcoredrilling.net.
That's Diamond Core Drilling. They can help you with any of your water well needs.
This is Ted Ogilvie. We're here to help.
Alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit.
Mark your calendars for the wedding show event of the year. January 17th, it's the Bridal Guide Wedding Show, calling all brides, grooms, and families. Join us at Simpson University January 17th from 11 to 3 p.m., where you can see over 100 vendors and a special live fashion show with tons of giveaways, including a free honeymoon trip. Make it a day to remember at the Bridal Guide Wedding Show. That's Simpson University January 17th from 11 to 3. See you there.
It's Dandelion's first Christmas in their new home. So join the ladies at 1322 Pine Street. Enjoy the 17 themed trees, where you will find exciting brands like Brighton, Alex and Ani, beautiful sweaters, and delicious candles with scents like pumpkin spice and cinnamon cider. Have your sweetheart fill out a wish list to make your shopping easier, or have one of the many wonderful ladies help you with that special gift. It's Dandelion Unique Gifts and Clothing at 1322 Pine Street in beautiful downtown Reading.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Christmas, Christmas. Hey, Christmas time, pretty baby.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Good morning, it's Carl Bott. 25 minutes until 9 o'clock, 44 degrees out there, going up to 49 a day. Lots of rain if you're heading north, it's a lot of snow also. Weather Report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, and this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. Better-known business, where they give discounts to seniors and veterans. Man's Last Stronghold. Can't get any better than that. You go in there, you never see Dr. Phil or Oprah on that TV. It'll be like drag car racing, baseball, and that kind of stuff. But if you want to find out what's going on in town, head on down to the Cheers of Barbershops. Cypress Square Barbershop, right across from the subway there in Cypress Square Shopping Center. I'm here with the Board of Supervisors Chairman, Leonard Modi, and the County Executive Officer, Larry Lees. And we're talking about the, that we don't have enough bed space. And people here are saying, too, it says, you know, it doesn't do any good to have more police if we don't have a place to put them because they'll just arrest more. But, you know, I believe that there should be presence, more of a presence out there. We don't really... It's more of a city thing. The county is, I mean, you've expanded the number of deputies out.
We have.
This year.
We did.
So, and first time in a couple of years, you've gotten back out, I think, in Burney.
Yes.
And
Shingletown. Eastern Shasta County,
right.
Yes.
I mean, it still doesn't mean that your response time is in minutes, but, I mean, this county's larger than some states back east.
You know, and that's an important point to note. You know, we authorized $900,000 of ongoing money to put more deputies out there in Eastern Shasta County. So, you know, and we authorized $3.1 million of ongoing dollars to operate the new jail when it comes around. So we've committed a lot of money to law enforcement, $4 million of ongoing money.
New money.
$2.5 million more for the ARC, and then we just spent $3.5 million for to buy a building for the sheriff to move into. So we're spending a lot of money.
He had to move because of the new courthouse that's coming in.
Yes.
Now, let me ask you, what's the budget for the county?
Well, it's $425 million this year, but the majority of that money, of course, is passed through from the state, so we have no discretion on how it's spent.
And where does that go to?
The majority goes to health and human services, general assistance.
Public health, mental health.
Because this is where we wanted to get to, was the mental health.
Right.
Because
right.
I think everybody's agreeing that a mental health program is going to solve maybe a great deal of the problems we have here. The mental health offices are saying their money's been cut out from them, that they've lost a lot of money. Is that necessarily true?
Well, what has taken place is, and this is probably 10, 15 years ago or longer, the state transferred the responsibility to mental health, similar to Prop 109 did with the inmates, transferred those requirement or those responsibilities to the county, and with that they send money. But like 109, they don't send enough money. So therein lies the issue. Now, there was a time when actually the state was sitting on some of the payments that were supposed to be coming through for mental health. A good example of that is the Prop 63 money, which was the millionaire's tax directed, dedicated solely for mental health. We're finally starting to get some of that money rolling through, and I could talk about what we plan on doing within the next 6 weeks when you're ready with our innovation money. But your perception is absolutely correct. You look at what's taking the time from law enforcement as it relates to deputies or even the PDs, and it's a big portion of that are those that might be able to be solved with being medicated for mental health, for behavioral health issues.
And I just would add to it, I think the two areas that we really can focus on, one is mental health, the other is those who are drug and alcohol addicted offenders. Those are the people that are probably, between those two groups, probably 65% of our arrestees are involved in some, either they have mental health issues, or they're addicted to something. Those are the ones that are overpopulating our jails and making that revolving door happen.
Okay, well, that leads us to the next point then, the proposed sobering center. This is Missy's been pushing it, but we had the gentleman from San Antonio.
Yes,
right.
That was on our show.
Right.
Here, and we talked for 45 minutes about how it works in San Antonio.
Right.
Now, of course, everybody talks about the $27 million they got in grants.
82.
Well, 82, whatever. whatever. I mean, come on. Once you get up into that point there. But what they're saying is there are grants out there. So Missy is saying, okay, let's take $375,000 from the sale of the building, which has already been spent and we haven't sold yet, to build this thing. I mean, I appreciate what Missy's doing,
right,
but I understand also budgeting in this. But that sobering center sounds like something that would help both the county and the city, which mean all the citizens handle some of these problems.
And remember at the very beginning I talked about the blueprint plan is that starting point of conversation for a regional solution. And this is exactly one of those things where the cities and the county should come together and discuss what it should look like, how we want to operate it, what kind of funds can we find from the private sector perhaps to help us in grants. But those are the kind of solutions that we need to work on. This is a great example of something like that.
Now, it's just not all talk, though. We're not all foam and no beer here. And this is what
if you're going down to that guy's place you were talking about.
But we actually have put together a plan with Prop 63. This is for mental health, and we're calling it a resource center. But we plan to have it open to RFP within about 6 weeks. We're waiting for the state to approve it. But we have allocated the dollars. It's coming from the Prop 63. This resource center is going to be for those that are just suffering from behavioral health / mental health issues. This will actually be a place where the police department or the sheriff's department can drop somebody off if there's no criminal activity and they just are needing some
mental
health.
They're just wandering around out there screaming at windows.
The criteria, no criminal and also no physical, no emergency room needed.
Because it's not going to be the people that are, they're not there to be able to handle that.
Yeah, right. But okay. We're going out.
How big is that going to be?
We're going to start with about 10, 15. And so,
Is that something that can morph into the Soper Center?
I believe it absolutely is. And that's why Texas is so successful, is they have it all at one place.
Absolutely.
We are actually submitting to Senator Ted Gaines is working with us, and he has accepted the challenge to take legislation for us that's going to have a one-stop, I'm going to call it one-stop shop, but where you have the Sobering Center, where you then have this resource center for behavioral health needs, and then the third component is that you have a crisis stabilization unit for those behavioral health clients that have gone into some type of a need. And so the key is so you could have those in the same place or have all those resources close together so that you could get the person who's now taking drugs and is off their mental health medicine because they're addicted, get them clean, and then get them on their mental health.
Somewhat like that San Antonio thing. But Leonard, don't you believe what we're talking about here is a need of leadership and vision that has to also encompass the city.
Oh, absolutely.
For like this to happen, because it's not only taking them off the streets and starting that rehab there, which the guy from San Antonio makes it sound like, they've been pretty successful with it. But then there's a facility that they go move into after you get them stabilized and those kind of things. But this takes and everything needs to be under that one roof, almost kind of like One Safe Place and the Family Justice Center did for domestic violence. Do you see something like that happening, that they could do this? Well, or are there going to be too many rice bowls that people are going to be fighting?
Well, about? I hope not, because that is probably one of the issues that we suffer from today, is too many little silos of this group and that group. All well-meaning, all well-intentioned, but we need to have that cooperation amongst each other.
Well, how do you get them to do that?
Well, I think, as I mentioned, the challenge is laid upon our feet today with the blueprint that says, okay, here's all the suggestions. Now, already, we have an implementation team that's been put together that's going to involve Brent Weaver from the city of Reading, and the city manager, Larry, and myself are a part of that group, along with the police chief, the fire chief, and the sheriff. And I think it's time for us to say, okay, now we've got the thoughts. Let's start working forward and have those discussions. We have to get beyond this turf issue and get more to how do we solve these problems for the long term. And that's going to be the challenge. But I think it's time for us to recognize that as a region, we need to quit saying, okay, that's a city problem or that's a county problem. We should start saying, no, this is our problem. And how are we going to fix it?
Well, it is our problem, and that's the thing that we've talked about for years, is it seems like for some reason that there's, even though we're all citizens and friends and work together and go to the same things together, that there's been a problem working together.
Well, I think probably more than anything, part of it's turf, part of it's money. But I think, as you mentioned and Larry talked about, just this resource center as a starting point. In Texas, they didn't start with a grandiose plan. They started small, and they built on it over a period of years. And then when they were really successful, then they got the big grants.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, when people go, oh, it costs this much money, forget that. Let's start with 10.
Yeah,
exactly. Let's start with 10 people, proof of concept, and the money will follow.
Right.
I mean, that's
the
way it is. Right. I also have an idea about where you can put people in jails, too. I'll talk to you during the break.
Okay.
We'll be right back. It's 8:45 here on Monday, the 21st of December. 4 shopping days till Christmas if you're a guy. 3 if you're a girl. And like Larry does, he usually shops the day after Christmas.
Yeah,
it's a lot
for the
cheaper
deals,
for the good deals. And then he also picks up Christmas trees a lot cheaper that way.
That's right.
We'll be right back after these messages. This portion of the show, though, brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, located 2143 Hilltop Drive at Espresso Joe's. Get the best coffee in town at prices that won't cost you a college education. Any kind you want. Plus, you know what? Get in there and get the presents, those last-minute presents for parties and everything with the coffee beans. Walk next door to the finest tobacco emporium in Northern California with a walk-in humidor that has every type of cigar that you could possibly want for presents or just personal enjoyment. All of this at Tobacco and Brew, a better-known business, 2143 Hilltop Drive. We'll be right back.
You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy.
Well, Christmas is coming next, so Kathy's got gift cards that you can get for the person that has everything. We have a whole bunch of new Toyo Tommy kerosene heaters in for Christmas and ready to go. Kurt and Ricky are delivering kerosene everywhere in the mountains. Cody and Gary are doing a lot in the plant, filling clear pearl for the portable heaters and propane bottles and bulk oil. And thank you to all the customers of ours that use the Muse card locks for trucks, cars, and equipment. Mike Alcorn, the driver of our shiny truck and trailer, has Driver of the Month award for cleanest truck. Robin is doing a great job keeping up with all of our ag customers and corning and deliveries. Joe at Weaverville plant is very busy filling propane bottles and kerosene. Northern Lights Energy, keeping families warm, tanks full, and always there before you need us. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Have you ever had your vehicle in a shop for a collision repair? When you called to check on it, did no one seem to know anything about it? Donsek for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Did you feel like a number when you were given canned rhetoric or generalization not specific to your vehicle? Although we are recognized as an authority in frame and suspension repair, we are primarily an auto body and truck collision repair center. When you select Coachmaster, we will tell you exactly how we are going to repair your vehicle. You will know the person in charge and get direct answers to your questions and follow-up phone calls, because every vehicle is personal to us. With our knowledge of the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to get started quickly. A reputation for excellent service and high-quality repairs takes years to build, and we intend to keep it. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Redding. Join the revolution.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 10 minutes until 9 o'clock. 44 degrees out there. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Four Winds Jewelry. Still a big sale going on. Be here, be right before Christmas. Leonard has everything you could possibly imagine in jewelry and more, and the only trained watch repairman in the whole area. All of this at Four Winds Jewelry with great deals down there. It's going down at 2225 Hilltop Drive, right across the street from Sierra Gibbs. Open Monday through Friday, not this Friday, from 9:30 to 4. And find it. Find what you want. Everybody can find what they want at Four Winds Jewelry. I'm here with the chairman of the Board of Supervisors, Leonard Modi, and Larry Lee's executive officer of the county. And we were talking about the busting silos down and working together, which is time. Now, one of the things that I think that we could do or that can be done is the revenue sharing or the tax sharing.
Yeah, and that's something that we talked about 3 years ago, and it kind of got flatlined. We had one council member who just had a one-tracked idea, but that person is no longer in the council. So I had an opportunity at our last board meeting last week to suggest, and my fellow board members agreed, to send an invitation to the city again to revisit this. And I think they got a good mix on the council. We can have a good discussion. And that will be the key for our future. Is we start quit fighting over where businesses land and start thinking about more what we can do with the dollars that we can share to provide services for our citizens, it will give us a better solution to a lot of problems, just like the ones we've just been talking about, whether it be the mental health issues. Because, you know, the county is responsible for the mental health, but in reality, most of the issues are dealt with in the city.
Right.
And so we need to find ways to work together on issues like that.
I'd really like to, you know, see something like that, because it's come up before several times and it gets shot down by one way or the other.
Well, and the other thing about it, too, is when you do it that way, then you put the businesses where they belong, where there's the services to back them up, and not just fighting over, okay, if I get them in my jurisdiction, I'm going to get X amount of dollars.
Okay, and one of the questions that came in on the chat room was, do we have any ways, does the county do anything to bring in business? And I forgot to ask that. I asked you during the break. And there is.
We do. We contribute to the Economic Development Council each and every year. So they are our advocates. We actually appoint members on their board. Each district has an appointed member on that board. So we do participate and look to them to give us leadership in that area.
And when you think about it, that's an example of just what you're talking about, where the cities and the counties have gone together for a common cause.
Right.
And so that is one example, because the city of Reading also contributes to that. Yes. They have appointments on that.
Yes.
Also. So they're, everybody's working together to bring this, you know, whatever that business
whatever
is.
Whatever that business is. Let's go to the phones. Billy Bob, good morning.
Yes, good morning, Carl. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, Chairman of the Board, a couple of quick questions. Did the Board of Supervisors ever have formal meeting giving support to the 3M Corporation's project? As you know, years ago, the Knauf insulation plant met the same opposition, and that we overcame that, and now we have a nice, clean operation up there. But did you ever hold formal meetings with them and encourage them to stick with the project?
You know, Larry wants to jump in on this too, but I will tell you that as far as like a formal meeting, like at a board meeting like that, no, we did not. They never came before us or asked for that. They did reach out to some of the board members, I think, to see if they would like to discuss that and provided some information, general information about the issue. But Larry, anything else you want to
add? I will, because I did meet personally with the 3M investors. And this was over about a two-year period of time, actually. But we met with them with a resource management director, and we actually had solved all the concerns that they had as it related to being able to go in with such a project. Where, keep in mind, the majority of it has already been zoned for that particular type of use. The issues came up during the EIR when they started to get complaints from the community.
Okay, but let's ask this one directly. Leonard, would you all have talked with them and done what you could have to keep that business here?
Well, it's absolutely important that we're willing to talk to anybody that wants to bring a business here. That's our job as leaders, is to provide information and feedback and ask the questions. And so, absolutely, we'd be open to any business that would want to at least come and talk to us.
Okay, Billy Bob, what's your second question?
Okay, my second question is simply, how come the Board of Supervisors in this county did not even allow the state of Jefferson to do a presentation to your formal hearing, and that now that we've got enough signatures, we went around your opposition to this, and so I guess you guys are left off the negotiation table. So I was just wondering why you couldn't represent our county any better. I'll let you guys go. Thank you.
Okay, Billy Bob.
And let me just.
And we were going. I was going to ask. They know I was going to ask them that question. So
yeah.
What is?
Well, first of all, we did hear a lot of testimony. 3 hours. 3 hours of testimony about the state of Jefferson from a number of citizens who lined up and talked to us. The other thing I think they're talking about is the formal presentation, which is like a 15 or 20 minute presentation. The reason why most of us were not in favor, that we'd already seen it. They had sent me, and I looked at a video that showed their presentation that Mark Baird does, and went through a whole list of things. A couple people actually attended some of their presentations down in Anderson.
And one out in Bernie.
Out in
also
Bernie as well. River, so yeah. The board actually did see, although not at our meeting, but we did see those presentations prior to the meeting.
So the fact that they went out and got signatures for thousand signatures.
Yeah, they said they got a list of signatures and they're going to go around us, and you know, and that's their right to try to do that. I don't know that they're going to be successful, but you know, we'll see what happens.
I think the fact at the same time that the chemtrail guys came in and gave
4 hours.
4 hours.
Yeah. That was about three months later. So. But, you know, the thing
I've got no comment about that.
Well, I think the point that can be made is that we listened. We sat there and listened to all the issues, and we made up our mind, and that's what we're elected to do.
Okay. What are we looking at? Okay, now you promised something to me, Larry Lees, you and Kurt Storman.
Yeah, we did say we'd wash your car if you were nice to us.
No, right.
Now, we actually, we were talking about the Continuum of Care Council at a previous time when Mr. Starvin and I came on. And we are actually moving forward to redirect that. And that's an effort to help with the homeless the homeless issues that we have here. And both Mr. Starman and I joined Council Member Schrader at her homeless meeting about a month ago. I know she had one recently, too. But about a month ago, we joined her with that. And we both pledged we do have actually something working, a fix in mind that's going to help us be more directed as it relates to how we're going to handle the homeless. And to add on to that, you know, you talk about what's it take. I have seen the city and county doing actually more together. I think we're not there yet. There's certainly opportunity for growth, but we're doing more. And we're going to have a ribbon cutting on a 16 apartment, maybe 20 apartment, homeless/behavior health beds right here in the city of Reading. That's going to happen within 3 weeks.
I don't know. I guess when I hear, we're working closer and we're doing all this, that I just, you know, I don't understand why we haven't been working really close for the last 8 years. We've been going through some horrible times here, and why it hasn't happened. And at least it's starting, and so I applaud that. But what do we look at? We only got a couple minutes left. What are you looking at for next year, Ewan? I mean, as for coming into the county, anything that maybe on the horizon? Tax-wise, or, I mean, we're looking at a tax increase to try to start paying for this stuff?
Well, I think that's going to be led by the city if that happens, because obviously most of the people where the shopping is will be in the city and stuff. I think the two issues, one that is going to be huge, although not so much for the county, will be water issues. Will be huge for us coming forward. But the other one that we already talked about, which I think should be at the top of our list, is helping the mentally ill. We have a lot of people out there who need help, and putting them in jail is not the answer.
No, it's not the answer, or the emergency room, either
right.
one.
Correct.
So I think that there could be. I think there's going to be a large consensus to be able to do something like that. Larry, what do you see?
Same thing. I agree. The other thing I would add is with the three marijuana laws that have just been passed by the legislature, that will have a big impact on the county.
Quickly, what is that?
Well, there were three laws that were passed that really allow for the use of cultivation and sale. And
although it still allows our zoning ordinances to be in place.
I would think that don't they give the county a chance or the people of that county to have something to say about it, though?
Today, but keep in mind in November there's going to be a referendum on the ballot.
Or does this mean we're going to be seeing some Shasta Wowie here maybe next year?
I don't think so.
Oh, okay. Hey, thanks a lot, Leonard Modi and Larry Leeds, for being with us here the week of Christmas. Merry Christmas, y'all, and happy holidays.
Also.
And let's hope that next year that we do get everybody working here together and, you know, for a better place.
Agree.
Yeah, thank you, Carl.
Thank you, Carl.
Okay. Tomorrow, we've got a guy by the name of Nick Webb's going to be here who invents everything. And he was on a few weeks ago talking about health care and what he sees is coming. And I tell you what, it's absolutely scary, but he's pretty much matter of fact about it. So you know what your health care is now? Forget it. It's going to be different. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
But I won't back down.
Gonna stand. The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Rich Thomason. He says he's proud of the campaign he ran, Republican Senator Lindsey Graham dropping out of the GOP presidential race.
I'm suspending my campaign, but never my commitment.
Graham barely registered in the polls and was repeatedly relegated to the undercard in televised debates. Las Vegas police trying to determine a motive for a motorist rampage that left one person dead, dozens of pedestrians hurt. Police say the woman intentionally drove onto a crowded sidewalk on the Vegas Strip last evening. Antonio Nasser saw it happen.
There's people with fractures in the head, bleeding, cuts. There's one gentleman was face down trying to, looks like he was in shock. He was trying to get up, but his legs were runned over, and he couldn't stand up.
Several of the injured are in critical condition. Police insist it is not a case of terrorism. The Taliban claiming responsibility for an attack in Afghanistan. NATO.